O God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our minds and our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, like most of you, I think I spent a lot of time tuned into the television yesterday, waiting for news to know exactly what had happened, and saddened by the tragedy at the mall. Those who were dead, those who have been injured, and for some that will mean many, many months of healing and recovery. I was equally saddened this morning when I woke up and I literally rolled over in bed to check my phone to see what the latest news was from El Paso and to find that we weren't at the top of the headlines anymore, but that overnight there had been a shooting in Ohio. And I had last night and this morning thought about, what do we say in the face of evil? What do we say in the face of violence? How do we address it? And knowing in my humanness that I probably can't thoroughly explain evil, certainly can't fix it. But thinking about my own journey through times of turmoil and tragedy and violence, I was reminded of September 11th, 2001. And in that moment, the lectionary readings were all from Jeremiah. And his words of lament for the destruction of Jerusalem, for the destruction of the city. And so I stayed in those words for a while. Because I had a professor in seminary, Robert Jewett, who said, in the face of war and violence, in the face of death and evil, Scripture laments. It cries out to God for justice. It cries out the hard questions, and it voices the struggles. And it reminds us that when our hearts are hurting, when they are questioning where God is or what God is doing or what this world is coming to, that we aren't the first to cry out, but that we have been promised a God who will hear us, even when our words maybe don't seem so churchy or holy. God longs to hear the cries of our hearts. Even when, as Romans says, our prayers are groans more than words, when we have no words and the Holy Spirit needs to intercede for us, even then, God listens. God is present with us in the struggles and in the tears and the questions, the anger, even in the numbness. So we began today, it began with prayer. And then I was reminded of something I have written in my prayer journal sort of repeatedly over the last year. Last fall I read the book of Acts, and one of the stories which may be familiar to most of you is of Paul and Silas in prison. And suddenly it hit me what their response had been to the imprisonment. In a place that was dark and cold and could have been without hope, they could have been depressed or despondent. They could have been angry. But Scripture tells us they were singing hymns. And so when I've had struggles in my own life or doubts, often in my prayer journal, I just simply write, I'll sing while I wait. And it reminds me that even as we wait, even as life is hard, We can sing of the blessings of God. Because as we do, they become more apparent to us than perhaps we had noticed. Even as we struggle, there are things to thank God for. Maybe even the simplicity of waking up and taking another breath and not taking it for granted. And so in my life, as I walk through my life spiritually, as I prepare sermons, I listen to what my heart is singing, what my heart is saying to God. And one of those songs yesterday was "Goodness is Stronger Than Evil." And as we sing, sometimes we sing saying, "Help me see this. Help me believe this." As we sing, sometimes we shout it to the heavens or to the world, declaring it even when we see no evidence of it. Sometimes we sing it in affirmation and thanksgiving and faith, even when things around us are chaotic. We affirm that God is here, that God is with us. So what to preach on today? What scripture to choose? We'll come back to give us this day our daily bread next week, but for that particular phrase from the Lord's Prayer and the sermon I had prepared, it didn't fit for today. So I began to think about what did fit. And then Amy texted me and said, "I want to use the words that opens up our funeral and memorial services." I began to think about what scriptures do I use when I conduct funerals and memorial services. And one that I often use is from Isaiah 40. Familiar words, words that we use in other contexts, and yet words that speak to the dying and the bereaved. "Comfort, comfort my people," says the Lord. Words that were written to the people of Israel in exile. People who had experienced the destruction of their nation. People who had experienced the result of their sins. People who lived in exile in a place that was not their home and must have wondered, had God forsaken them? Did God exist? Was God working at all to make their lives better? And to that begins these words of what we know as 2 Isaiah. "Comfort, comfort my people," says the Lord. "Be comforted and know that I am with you." Evil happens in our world, and in that moment it can seem so great and so overwhelming that nothing can touch it. And we hear the words of God. "Comfort, comfort my people." We feel the despair in our hearts or the coldness in our stomachs. And again, we hear those words, "Comfort, comfort my people." We may feel like we don't know what to do or how to do it. And yet God promises us in this passage from Isaiah, that where we feel like we can't stand, we'll be given that strength. Where we feel like we can't take a step forward, there too God will be with us and empower us. Where we feel like nothing is possible, even there, God will give us wings like eagles, that we might soar and we might fly. On this day, as a community, we grieve. We grieve for families who have lost loved ones. We grieve for those who are in surgery and recovery and have healing ahead of them. We grieve for those that were present and experienced the shock and the trauma and the violence, and who will take time to process what that means and may struggle to feel safe and secure again. And we come on this day ourselves, having experienced violence and fear, and hearing the promises of God, that God is with us. Yes, says Isaiah, people are mortal. In the blink of an eye, we can be gone. But God reigns over all things. God, who created the heavens and the earth, looks down on us and loves us and strengthens us and empowers us. So what will we do with this moment and with this time? In some ways, it's not different from any moment or time in our lives, because we're called to believe. We're called to be people of faith. And that means addressing evil and violence and sin and hatred. And we're reminded that some people make that choice. They look at sin or hatred or violence, and they step into it and they embrace it. And they take other lives, and they cause other people pain. And then we're reminded of Jesus, who, when he was confronted with violence and with hatred and with sin, didn't respond in kind, but went to the cross, took that violence and sin and hatred upon himself, that the world might know redemption, that our struggles and our failures might be atoned for. And in that moment, he was saying, love is stronger than evil. Goodness is stronger than hate. He proclaimed it. He lived it. He opened the door that we too might follow. There's that moment on Good Friday when it seems like death has won, or evil has triumphed, where there's only darkness. And yet the light is in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. On this day, on every day, we are people of the resurrection. Christ is alive and working in this world and in our lives to bring about hope and redemption, to bring about promise and new life. So in our sadness, in our shock, in our horror, in our struggle, in our depression, we come before God and we affirm that God is even now at work, giving us strength and courage. We come before God and we hear the promise of comfort and of strength and of renewal. We come before God and we declare that we are an Easter people, and that nothing will overcome the life and the love, the grace and the glory of our God that has been promised to us and to our world. Amen.